Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are just trying to figure it out as they make their way through life and comedy and everything in between. I said welcome back. Maybe this is your first time. Welcome and or welcome back. Welcome would have covered it both times, really. Let's just say welcome, period. You, period. Welcome. Listener, period.
Do you feel welcome yet, listener?
Yes. Are you welcome? Have I made this a big enough deal yet that we want you to feel welcome? Take your shoes off, you know, or leave them on. We're not going to enforce it either way. Whatever you're comfortable doing, you know.
Open door policy.
Yeah. If you got those nasty toes, leave those shoes on, you know, unless you want to show off your nasty toes. And then,
don't do that,
though. That's all cool.
No, don't do that.
We found Dwight's limit. Okay.
Yeah. Not nasty toe shaming anybody, but let's not. Save that for those other podcasts.
You know, maybe if we did more foot talk on here, we would get more, you know, listeners and viewers, you know, all the freaks out there. This is one of your hosts, Madelana Martin. With me, as always, is Dwight Simmons. Dwight, how are you today?
I am great. I am navigating still a mindset of recovery from the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. Big old party. Wisconsin. Wisconsinites are just built different. I thought I was built different. I've been saying I was built different. And then I went to Wisconsin and drank for 3 days. And turns out I am not indeed built different. I am weak and it doesn't feel good. So I'm still sweating it out the weekend.
At any point during the 3 days of drinking, did you play Hammer Nail?
I don't know what that is.
It's a bar game in Wisconsin, I think also in Minnesota, where I've seen it, where there is like a giant log, like a giant tree stump, essentially. And then there's like these nails, and they're not normal nails, like they're big, crazy, like crucify your Lord nails.
Oh my God.
And then there's a hammer. And basically the idea is you're trying to drive the nail in as far as you can with one shot. And then everybody takes turns. So you're drinking and then swinging a hammer around in a crowded bar. And super fun.
It's just Wisconsin whack-a-mole. That's what this sounds like.
Essentially,
what an insane game. But I actively avoid bars with such games.
You're like looking past the bouncer and you see somebody in the bar with a hammer. You're like, we'll go to the other bar. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fun. Take the hammer. Drive this nail through. It's like, or... We could just learn how to speak to one another and hang out.
Yes, boring. Who wants that?
Have you ever done JJ's Bohemia in Chattanooga?
I have not because I could never get booked there. Not for lack of trying. Let me put it this way. I tried to get that guy to book me. And this was the original booker who ran it forever. Just would not give me the time of day. Yeah. I understand there's like a different person booking it now.
So. I think so. You should try again.
But you've done it?
I did it many years ago. It was like one of my first times going on the road. And after the show, they started a fire behind the bar. And the owner...
behind the building of the bar or behind the bar?
No, in the bar.
Inside the bar, behind the bar. Fire.
Yes. And I was like, what is this? And then the owner of the building came, this old grizzled white man. Mm-hmm. And he just pulled out of his pocket like four darts.
Mm-hmm.
And like the bar is like built long ways at the edge of the bar. There's a Justin Bieber like picture with targets. This dude just like from 20 yards bullseyes four darts, and I was like, I'm never coming back here. There's a fire and this dude's just throwing open weapons.
Yeah, past everyone sitting at the bar.
Yes.
To get
I can give you a rec. I can give you a recommendation if you want to.
I mean, try I would do again. It. You got to get those stories, right? But before we move on, though, you were at the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, put on by some tremendous human beings up there, Matt, Caitlin, and Greg. And how was it? I mean, I heard that you crushed. You crushed.
Oh yeah, you heard it through the grapevine. The grapevine
You texted me. I heard it from the grape itself, not even the grapevine. The grape itself was the juicy. I'm delicious. Your people.
It's just like, man, Milwaukee is my second time doing this club. I had two shows. I had a 15-minute set on Thursday. that was real late and goofy and loose and fun. And then I headlined the show on Saturday. It's a 5 p.m. show, completely sold out. Like a bunch of comics came to hang at that show. So really, really like top to bottom, the entire lineup was just murderers. Like it was such a hot room. And then I got up and then got yelled at by a guy immediately. They're like, here's your headliner, Dwight Simmons. I got on stage and he like yelled some nonsense. He's sitting right offside the stage and just yelled some nonsense. And so before like, I can get a word
like gibberish, like you can't understand what he's saying, or yes. Or do you remember what he said?
Like he'd been playing Hammer Nail all night the night before. And just Dwight. And then I was like, okay. Before I can get like a word out, and then I went with the active ignoring him to shut him down. Because like I said, the room was so hot. Why would I give in to this insane person? I think he was just so excited, caught up in the room's energy, and also really fucked up. So like midway through my set, he just gave up and left. Like
did he keep trying to yell at you through the rest of your act?
A couple of times. But yeah, it's just like active ignoring him, like pretending he didn't exist. And then he gave up and left, and the rest of the show was great. Okay. It was great. It was awesome. It was like a hangover energy. Thank God the show's at 5 p.m. And then I felt fucking great. You texted me, and then I texted you back that I crushed. You're like, you told me about the weekend you were having, and I was like, hey, one of us has to win this weekend.
It turned out not to be that bad, which I know you're not going to believe me because it's one of the rooms that you hate the most in the country. But yeah, I was texting you before I went on of just like the, what seemed to be, what it looked like was going to happen.
Did they add more American flag artwork to that?
No, that's what's crazy. This is what's crazy. All right. So this place used to be called JB's Whiskey, and you and I have both done it before. It's a one nighter. I've done it a couple of times. Have you only done it the one time?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know this is the infamous battle in Battle Creek that you went through.
Yes.
And so when it was JB's, they had, I think, 5 different American flags on the stage. Mm-hmm. And we need to also specify, this is not a very large stage.
You're right.
It's not like, you know, they were spaced out, you know, pretty far, you know, like, no, it was just a giant cluster of American flags and then enough space for you to stand and perform as if you're about to give the State of the Union address or something.
Right.
Like, that's what it looked like. There's a new owner. A new owner bought the place. He has changed the name to The Base because it is right next to a military base. The bar is. And all of the menu items are now like tied into the military somehow, like all the seafood is under the Marines, right? Yeah. Stuff like that. Yet the
bombs stage... over Baghdad nachos.
Yes. Yeah. destabilizing a third world country by assassinating their leader, CIA chips, you know.
Like that is a lot of words.
Yeah, yeah. But then the reverse hat, like the stage has no American flags on it whatsoever. It's just like, it's almost kind of like too barren now is what it is. But pretty much the exact same show, same type of, you know, people come out to it. And I had like the most lovely table of like kind of older people. It was like 2 women that were probably at least in their 60s, 70s, like that. And then a couple of people that were with them, they're probably 40s, 50s. And they were in the very back and they were like, so lovely at the end of the show. And they're like, yeah, I don't know. It's always like this. There's always like a table of drunk people that are trying to be part of the show. And it's always a different table of drunk people. And they're like, and also like nobody really laughs for the first guy. And that's definitely what happened. The opener, every time I've ever been there, the opener has struggled.
Yeah.
This opener did fine, hung in there, did their time, you know, got a little laughs. I don't really blame him for opening up the drunk table. Like they were chirping and trying to be part of it. And he was just was trying to, all right, if I include you a little bit, maybe this will be not enough for you to shut the fuck up. But that's, I had to do that a bunch of my sets. I had to work with this. And again, good natured, not mean heckling, just they thought they got to be part of the show. And so it's really about expectations, you know, like watching that go ahead. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to work on any new stuff or heavy stuff. I'll drop a new thing in here and there. But it's just like, this is just going to be a ride it out. Do that 45, like hit the 45 and just try to have fun, fun as I can and not be mad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was actually fine. You know, it's totally fine. Like the drunk people bought some koozies at the end, you know, and it's just like, it is what it is, you know, like one of those shows. So I think if you went back there with the absolute lowest of expectations,
like lower my expectations,
if you would just give up, Dwight, I will say that they once again, and I think this may be why you had such a rough time with it, is once again, I did like two jokes that even kind of brushed up against the idea of race. Right. And man, they shut down like that immediately.
Bananas.
And I know that's a big chunk of like what you were working on that last time you were there was kind of like about this, you know, kind of stuff. Yeah. So I'm just saying, pander, baby.
Yeah. You know, like... Everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's so funny because like all the comedy I saw this weekend, I didn't have any shows on Friday, but I went to hang out at a couple shows. They were so... like it's very high quality. I didn't recognize a lot of the comics on the lineup. Everybody came to fucking play. It was great because like I saw Mitchell Potts hang out with Mitchell. My man does his hits and he just levels the room for 15 straight minutes, and it's great to see. And the audiences there, top to bottom, are fantastic outside of the one guy. You always have one guy in the weekend, I did my set on Saturday feeling fucking invincible. Like I might be that dude. I might be. And then I went to see Kyle Kinane at the Pabst Theater at 8 p.m. And I was like, oh no, I have learned so much this weekend. I'm not built different. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Kinane is just, it's even changed since he was at Limestone a couple months ago. Like it's just, it's just insane how his mind works. He's so funny, so in control all the time. It's awesome. But overall, fantastic weekend. I'm feeling very refreshed from it, which isn't always the case after festivals. But yeah, shout out to Greg, Caitlin, and Matt. They made everyone feel like a rock star, set everyone up for success. And that's what you want to see out of a comedy festival. So eternal gratitude.
True. And now you still have another festival, right? You're at 10,000 Laughs this weekend?
I'm at 10,000 Laughs this weekend, yes.
Yeah, you're just like your festival darling. Have you tried using that hashtag, or would Alex Price sue you if you use the hashtag festival darling?
I got to come like up with something else.
Tried really hard to make that his brand for a while.
Festival darling, get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Don't call me darling, honey.
So you are at 10,000 Laughs this weekend, another fantastic festival up in Minnesota. Now, what shows do you have in there? Are you headlining any of those? Or are you just opening?
What was funny is I didn't know that I was headlining the Milwaukee Comedy Festival one. They just said, you're doing 45 minutes. And I said, you know what's funny? I complained about it all day. I was like, I just want to hang out. I don't want to work. I want to do 15 minutes and move along. And then I had very hot set and I had tremendous amount of fun. At 10,000 Laughs, I'm doing a show. I'm opening for Beth Stelling, which I'm very excited about, on Friday. And then Saturday, I'm at a Sisyphus Brewing Company showcase, which I've never done Sisyphus, so I'm excited about that one as well.
It should be a hot one. It's a great room. I was on a showcase there when I did 10,000 Laughs, and I've done the regular open mic at Sisyphus. And even that has been like not tied into the festival, just, you know, and even that was fantastic. So it's a great room and you're going to have a good time. It should be fun.
I'm excited. Yeah, this is another festival with a sterling reputation. Mm-hmm. You'd call it one of the top festivals in the country, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty far up there. It's one of the northernmost festivals in the country. You're right. Is that what you meant by top?
What I meant by top, and I believe you know that, sir.
I think the top comedy festival in the country is Alaska before you die. Alaska, they're the top. Yeah. They're the top.
They're the guys, top.
For American comedy festivals, they're the top, you know.
do this PG showcase for kids, or should I just sleep in?
Oh, the Ellie Hino thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I love Ellie, and apparently it's like it's a crazy bonkers show. Like, she's done it once before. But yeah, I don't know.
I'll just go watch.
Do you feel like you want to do it? Completely,
I don't know what comedy jokes I would do. Like, I have no idea. For the however many years I've been writing jokes, I don't know if I've written a single one for a person under the age of 7.
Yeah, it is interesting. I've definitely done shows like, I remember very early on in my comedy career, I was doing, it was just more of like a variety show in Bloomington, at Players Pub, rest in peace. And it was like music and I was thinking I was the only comedian. And literally, as I'm getting ready to start, like, two families walk in with like a bunch of kids. And I, you know, like most comics, when they started off, I was mostly dirty and cussing a bunch. But it was, you know, I just did I did the cleanest jokes I could. I did crowd work, even though there's no reason to be doing crowd work, but I was just trying to fill my time. You know, I was just trying to get these kids to say something silly or funny, you know, like, let's get a laugh out of these kids. Kids are stupid. Come on, kid, do something dumb.
Where you go to elementary school.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, but I've also, I remember doing DJ Dangler's show that he does every year at Comic-Con in Indy, Indianapolis Comic-Con. And packed. He's grown that show and it's like it's in one of the bigger halls now and it's like usually full of people. And there is a ton of kids at that thing. And I remember I was like, I think I might have been first up or whatever, but I did like a clean 10. I did a clean 10 that wasn't offensive and everything. And then other comics decided to just go do their and you just saw like families just getting up and walking out, like covering their kids' ears because they're just like not even like just not just cussing, but like doing like filthy material. And they're just like, yo, read the literally read the room. Like read
I know
the room.
You're at a festival for people that read. Read the room.
But yeah, man, I do, cause I've been thinking about this, trying to build like the, dry bar submission set. But it's still, and then you see something like the Ellie Hino kids show or the ones that Greg Warren will do sometimes, you know? And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know how successful I could be at that, you know, like that level of it. So I don't know. You got like a couple days. You got 2 days, 3 days. Write some kid jokes. Go do that show. You know.
I don't think I'm gonna do that. I think I'm just gonna go watch it. Like you said, I heard it's bananas. I heard it's super fun and funny.
Yeah. I hear the snacks are good. You know, the orange slices are good.
Oh, give me a high C juice box and some goldfish crackers.
Yeah, it sounds like you need that after this last weekend. You need to hydrate. You need to get that juice box. You need to,
man,
you
know. It's crazy because I had a family that came, Megan's family, that came because they're Wisconsinites, and we hung out and did some daytime brewery stopping and found some cool places. And then my show on Thursday was at like 10:30, but it started late. And I was like, I'm tired. I'm so tired. I want to go to sleep.
I think we talked about this last week, a couple weeks ago, that like when I thought my entire day was going to be eaten up by my sister Kelly and her kids.
Yeah.
And then it got compacted down to just like a 2-hour hang. And
right.
Even that was like, oh, I'm really, you know, those family obligations will, because they're on vacation. That's the same thing. Like, you know, people are like, oh, we're partying. And it's like, yo, I'm at work still, kind of, you know, like
I got to maintain a level of mental clarity.
Yes. And focus.
Just can't go. Hard in the paint here.
Yeah, so. For sure. There was something else I was going to ask you. Do you have any other shows this week leading up to or the 10,000 last festival? I don't know if you have a Thursday show or if you're just.
Nope. I'm going that flying out on Thursday and then I'm going to go watch. There's a lot of pals on this festival. I didn't know that many people in Milwaukee, but I feel like I know a lot of people at this. So I'm going to try to watch as many sets as I can catch. This is kind of spread out this year, it feels like. So I'm not sure how many people I'll get to see, but I definitely will try to see as many homies as I can. But yeah, man, I'm excited for it. It's just fest shows, which I hope are great. And then back to the grind at the end of this month. Like, I got Michigan, I got Iowa, I got Chicago coming up. So Fest time is nearly over.
Well, I'm glad that you got to pack so much of it into one season, got into some really great festivals, and I'm not jealous at all. I don't secretly hate you at all, Dwight. I'm very, so happy for you.
Someone's got to be in Battle Creek, Michigan.
That's true.
That guy that the owner took all his American flags with him. I'll sell you the bar, but get your own damn American pride.
New owner, very nice, by the way. New owner, I've talked to him for a minute. Very nice guy. I wish him well. It's here's the question, because I know that you did suggest via text that this episode of the podcast we list the worst rooms in the country because of how much you dislike that room. Are you just done? You're never gonna do that one again? Because I mean, that's how I am about what's the one in the resort in Michigan,
like, Saugatuck?
Saugatuck, is that the one where like you're looking out at the $1 million yachts the entire time? Yeah,
exactly.
Like I had such a disastrous show at Saugatuck, I will never go back.
Yeah, see, that they love me there.
Yeah, and so it's different.
It's weird.
Yeah.
This one, only if I can connect it to something that makes sense. I'm not doing it as a one night. It's like one of these rooms that I just, why? To go fight again? Like, I don't have to prove that I can win this room over. It was bad. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. Yeah. It's like when after I got banned from Crackers and went back and headlined New Year's Eve and had the worst weekend of my life, like not even close. And that's just down the street from me. It's like a room that I don't care if people do it, like go take the money, but I'm never stepping foot in that room again.
Okay, fair. I just wanted to gauge exactly where the level was, because the last time we really, really talked about it, you had just done it and just had that battle, the Battle of Battle Creek.
The Battle of Battle Creek. There's so many shows in Michigan. There's so many shows in Michigan that if I could connect something to it, then it would make sense. But
That was my thing. Also, the day of, I really didn't want to go because I tried to connect it and I just couldn't. And I have my show this Saturday is even farther up in Michigan. It's quite a haul.
Yeah.
And I originally was unable to connect anything to that either. But it's one of those things where I didn't want to, you know, let down the booking agency because it's kind of on me. I said yes.
Right.
Fully thinking, oh, I'll be able to find something that goes with this.
Yeah.
And I didn't. But I mean, so this is, I think, the dilemma that you and I and comics at our level have is like, do you just go ahead and take those shows, those one nighter shows, and think, okay, this is the anchor show, mm-hmm. and then I'll build around it? Or should we start being like, I'm only going to take that show if you give me another show that goes with it to the booking agency? Because this booking agency books a ton of one nighter stuff and be like, I can't accept an eight hour round trip.
Yeah,
for that amount of money, it blocks out an entire weekend that you could be doing a club. It's in Saturday, so then there's a club weekend you can't do.
Right.
So I think if we just kind of go back to that booking agent, and I'm just kind of like talking this out loud more for myself than anything, but to get your take on it, like, should you and I draw the line? Last week's episode or 2 weeks ago was about standing up for yourself and drawing mm-hmm. that line. And I'm wondering if maybe it's not time to start doing that. It's like, thank you for offering that. I'd love to take it, but only if you can give me a Friday show as well. That makes sense.
I think so. I mean, so I often think of it through this lens. Like, if we, neither of us have kids, but if we did, I'm not sure we would take those gigs
For
that money. And the booking agency you've talked about will connect you to shows that are 8 hours apart anyway. Like, hey, you're already on the road. You're already going to be driving.
I don't think they've ever done that. Like, they're not triple, you know, like the triple run. Pacific Northwest was notorious for that. They'll give you an entire weekend, 4 days. They'll give you four nights in a row of shows, but there's a 12-hour drive between each show.
Like, damn.
This particular booking agency that does book that, I don't feel like they've ever given me routing that was that terrible.
Yeah,
you know, there might be a 4-hour drive between shows or something like that of a series of one nighters, but That's just me personally. I don't know if they've given you like worse routing before.
A couple times, but it's like you said, I took it in the hopes that I could connect something to it. I'm kind of with you on this, of especially going into next year, so we try to level ourselves up. It's kind of a hindrance to take these sort of shows.
Yeah.
Mentally and financially, like you said, like you're blocking out an entire weekend of work. And like, what is the gold standard of this club? Like, can we get moved up to that mountaintop versus how long are they going to keep us in this like mid-range headliner level? It could be forever. Right. So there's no like, I don't think there's a issue like if you've been working with a agency for a long time to have like a more open dialogue or communication. Right. If it was like, I remember trying to get into this agency and how the pressure was like, all right, for the first 2 years, you just got to go eat shit. And then once you're in, then they start to feed you more stuff. But if we're not seeing the results of, you know, 8 years of eating shit, then what's the off ramp? It's just find other stuff.
Right. I think that I agree. And I think there's, I fully agree. First of all, I love your belief in me. I'm not so certain that my goal for next year is to try to level up. I mean, I honestly just don't think I got the gas in the tank to now, you know, I was just pricing video, you know, HD 4K cameras the other day. Like, okay, I got to start taping and clipping things up and all that stuff. But I'm not as committed to it as you are of doing all the things that you need to do to really pop up a level. But I agree that you should be, and I think you're right. Like, I think drawing a line with that booking agency might, in a way, actually spur them to. I don't think they disrespect you, but I'll just put it this way: I know that the openers that I've always had at that Battle Creek room have not been great.
Right.
They've been fine. Right. Mm-hmm. And but there, I know for a fact that I don't think any of them get to then feature at the good rooms. This booking agency also books a couple of actual for real clubs and none of them, like the whole show is a perspective of one step down,
right?
Like you and I will feature at these clubs or like one club in particular, the best club that they have. Right. Yep. But they won't headline us, but we get to headline these things. And then these poor suckers who have been opening that room, one of them openly complained to me one time about, I've been trying to get, you know, I'd love to do this room and this room, you know, and they were like, keep putting me off. And then I saw their eyes. And I was like, well, I can see why. I mean, nothing against them, but it wasn't a particularly, it wasn't strong, you know? And it's like, so I think that you're right of like kind of drawing that line. But, and we have a friend who did just move up to headlining we'll call it their A room, this agency's A room, but after featuring for years, you know, and headlining their smaller one-nighter shows for years. But that same friend had a dry bar last year.
Yeah.
And they had some viral clips go big.
Yeah.
Without that, I don't see them ever moving me up. And I have a great relationship with this booking agency, you know, like to the point that we grab lunch when we're in the same town together, you know, it's like, I consider them to be friends, not just business acquaintances, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where I understand, like, it would be insane for me to ask at this point that they move me up to headlining anything other than their one-nighters. And they did have me headline their B club that they book for the first time this year. So it is this thing. But I think for you, I think for both of us, I think, you know, you're right. Like having a little bit more dignity and not just taking the same low money shows that we've taken for so long, because you and I've been headlining one nighters for this booking agency for a very long time for the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Money's not gone up. And in most instances, they've also taken away hotel rooms. There used to be hotel rooms.
Yeah.
And this is an industry wide thing. This isn't just this agency, but the money has stayed the same or gone down. And
you got to find a place to crash.
Yeah.
It sucks. I've never middled at that A room.
Never.
Not once. I've asked several different times. Not once.
You do have that, you know, you have that problematic race material that doesn't work well in Michigan. So
I get it. I understand. Don't get me wrong. I do understand, but like it is frustrating to get the same shows offered every year. It's like, hey, what about that one?
Yeah.
Can I just step foot inside?
That is bizarre to me. That's bizarre to me that you've never had that. But it does bring you back around to the thing too of like, unfortunately, I mean, that sucks. Just hands down, that sucks. And they absolutely should be middling you there in that room and having you headline the B room, which I think you've done. Have you headlined the B room?
I haven't. No, I've only done that once. I've,
years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they definitely 100% should be doing that, but there is, it's just back to the same thing too, of like, you get in where you get in, and you, some places you just don't get in. I had someone email me asking about the booking email for the attic because I've never been able to get in there. And I want to be like, yo, if you haven't, you know, and all I did was give them back the same email address I already had.
Right.
Because they were like, I don't know if I have the right email address. And I was like, well, this is it. You know, and I get that because I had that exact same thing with a club in Ohio that all my friends do. And I just cannot get the book. And eventually I'd be like, all right, I'm just not going to get into that room.
Yeah.
Like, I'll try if it, the booking agent, if it changes again to a new booking agent, I'll try again.
Yeah.
But this current one has no interest in having anything to do with me, even as a middle, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we've all had that spiral where you're checking your spam folders. Like, maybe they did hit me
maybe
back.
Did
I accidentally delete it? Let me go through my trash again.
And then you're calling Google support. You're like, hey, I just want to check. Like, I feel like I should have.
Y'all eat my emails, man. Let me add this to the address book.
Yeah, man. But yeah, I think that that is, I think you and I should both, you know, maybe start drawing that line that unless they're going to hand us a completed weekend, we maybe go, no, we're not going to do that. Unless it's something like right up the, I mean, if it's right up the road, that's fine. You know, like I picked up a couple of last minute gigs this week, like one is a, not for this agency, for a different booking agency, you know, in Warsaw, Indiana, right? It's like, oh, it's right up the road. It's a Saturday. Do it. Go get the money, drive back, you know.
I'll also do shows if they, if I like them. If I like, like Saugatuck in the like spring, I can take my wife and there's a little beach and we can walk around and have a day.
Yeah.
But don't send me to Battle Creek where it's like there's
in
the
January.
Yeah, there's like, what am I like? Yeah. The closest hotel is the Red Roof Inn Express. It's not even the full deal.
Dude, I just drove back. I drove up, did the show, drove back.
Yeah.
To Bloomington, which I would have probably done anyway because it was 4 hours, totally doable. You know, like it's an early show. I got home by like about 1:30 in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't terrible or anything, but I also had to do it because we were going to the Colts game the next day unexpectedly. So
nice shout out, by the way, on your social media.
Yeah, thank you.
Dude, where did you get those
seats?
You are
the biggest Colts. So yeah, shout out to my buddy Ron. His company has, apparently they've had these seats forever for the Colts. And his friend Chris from Memphis came up to hang out and they were going to go to the game and they had two extra seats. And so he asked Denise and I if we wanted to go. And so we went. And I mean, it was almost enough to make me a Colts fan again, man.
Oh, like, man.
They won. It was a good close game the whole time. We were like, it is very different. Because when Denise and I used to be super into the Colts, we would go to like at least one game a year.
Mm-hmm.
But we're up in the cheap seats, you know, like it's different to be in the second row on the 5 yard line. And like when action is down on that end, you're like, oh, damn, like right there. Like I could probably just lean over. And at least touch the line judge, you know,
right.
The guy holding the little orange, you know? I can just tap him on the shoulder, basically, you know.
The picture you posted looked like you were on the field, like you were about to,
yeah,
like you're about to buckle that chin strap in.
Yeah, you know, no, like, I was ready in case they needed me to call me up, you know. I'm like,
almost, man, almost. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. So you're a Colts fan again.
I don't know. I mean, the NFL is still a horrifically evil organization that I don't feel good supporting.
It's not good.
But that being said, now that we got this ticket hookup, I might.
It don't take me much to get back
here. I might go to Goodwill and try to find some Colts gear, you know, so it doesn't put money back in Jim Irsay's pocket. And
if you had a Taylor Swift box, you might go to like 3 or 4 a year.
I mean, they should be giving me because I'm sure the fact that I was at the game really boosted sales, just like when Taylor went, you know. We got Swifties, we got Mammies, you know.
We got those Mammies. That's much more appropriate for the Indianapolis Colts. The oh, Mammies.
can I say, and we all four of us like that went, we're all like, this slogan for the shoe is one of the most, that's terrible. For the shoe. Why are we doing this? For the shoe. For the shoe. The shoe. Okay. Yeah. It's for the horseshoe, but we're just going to make it for the shoe.
That's our backup quarterback is Gardner Minshew. And so all the Photoshops were his head on the horse.
Nice.
And it's, instead of S-H-O-E, it's yes. S-H-E-W.
He played well.
He did.
He got called in because Richardson got injured. What we've been doing in our little group chat of the four of us who went to the game is we replaced it with Elizabeth Shue, classic '80s, you know, Adventures in Babysitting, you know, like Karate Kid, you know, like we just anytime someone's like for the shoe, and then someone finds a GIF or old '80s. Yeah. Image of Elizabeth Shue or a modern one from The Boys, from season one of The Boys. So that's how we roll.
That is, yeah, I love that. I love that you threw The Boys in there.
Hell yeah.
I'm about to start that spinoff.
Hamlet 2. Did you see Hamlet 2?
I did not.
It's a Steve Coogan. It's hilarious. It's a Steve Coogan movie about a like just loser beat down theater teacher at like a public school in like New Mexico or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he writes a sequel to Hamlet called Hamlet 2. And she's another teacher in the school. Elizabeth Shue is, no. He brings her in. Somehow he like meets her and she comes in to talk to the class. She's playing herself, former 80s star Elizabeth Shue. It's great. It's super funny. Kathleen Keener, whatever her name is.
Yeah,
Being John Malkovich. Yeah, Kathleen Keener is in it. It's great. It's a super funny movie and also features Elizabeth Shue. So appropriate for this conversation.
We're adding it to the list.
There you go. Oh man. Hey, I do want to talk about my shows coming up next week. Minneapolis, go out, support 10,000 laughs. And when you do, make sure you're catching both of Dwight's sets. For me next week, I've got quite a little lineup of shows here. I got Thursday, I got Don't Tell in Bloomington, a very fun location, very fun lineup of shows. Tickets are on sale for that right now through the Don't Tell site and also linked on my website. And like everyone else, man, like we started to get a few numbers this week, but it really is so stressful to be the producer of a show or the person who owns a comedy club or books anything, because it's just like, well, God, this is just like as of like yesterday, it's like, this can be a disaster. Do we just cancel the show? What's going to happen? And I was like, okay, it might be okay. We might get to where it's okay.
Yeah.
And of course, hopefully, you know, we have 48 hours. And so hopefully that'll pick back up. You know, it's okay looking now, and hopefully it'll be all the way to good and we feel good in that room. But you can definitely help out if you're listening to this podcast. You can buy a ticket and come to the Don't Tell show in Bloomington, Indiana on the 12th. On the 13th, I'll be at the Comedy Attic for a Best of Bloomington showcase. And then on the 14th, I'll be in Ludington, Michigan. Kind of far up there, Ludington, Michigan. And I am at a place, what is that called? I should have pulled up my website instead of my calendar. I'm at Timbers Prime in Ludington, Michigan. You can get tickets for that.
I've done that show. Website.
Have you? Is it good?
Yeah, it's fun.
Okay, good.
That's fun.
It looks like it's kind of a lovely part of Michigan too. You know?
Not all Michigan is bad. Hashtag not all Michigan.
Hashtag only Battle Creek. This is how much he hates Battle Creek. He stopped eating all cereal because it's all made there. Oh man. But we did have a question of the week get sent in, not officially, not through the email, not how we like it, but we'll take a random texted to us question occasionally. This question comes from listener and frequent question provider, John Handcuff, Bloomington comedian John Handcuff. And their question was, they wanted to know, like, when you are auditioning for work for a club that requires you to come to the club and do the open mic, you know, or close out the open mic, do a showcase thing, or even if you are, you know, they want you to come audition live in the room, like, let's say you're doing a guest set on a show. Mm-hmm. Should you stick to your plan of doing your A material, what you think is your strongest, best material that showcases you as a comedian, and ostensibly be put that foot forward, or should you adapt to what's going on in the room, right? If it's an open mic situation and it's just, you know, mostly comics hanging out, should you kind of switch that energy up that we all do in that scenario? Mm-hmm. And should you do material that maybe plays more to comics and is going to get laughs? Is it, I guess it's more, he's asking, is it more important to present the version of yourself that you want to get booked and that you hopefully will be doing on the shows, the weekend shows if you get booked, or should you just try to do as well as you can?
Right.
Do you want to take a first stab at this or?
Sure. Thank you, John, for the question. I don't think there's a hard and fast rule about this. It's really a read of what is happening in the room. So I guess the coward's answer would be there's nothing wrong with, there's nothing wrong with like
next question
doing a hybrid of sorts. Mm-hmm. Of just doing well. I think we've talked about it before, the auxiliary things that need to happen when you go to a comedy club to audition is be on time, don't go over your time on stage, start strong and end strong. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, follow up shortly after. But as far as, all right, if there's not that many people in the room and you're going to go up there and try to kill with your A material, quote unquote, and that backfires, I think that has a psychological effect. And, 100%. You know, a lot of times these people that book the comedy clubs are only halfway paying attention anyway. So as long as you don't say anything like crazy or offensive, mm-hmm. or like that's going to be problematic if you're like auditioning for a host set. Mm-hmm. I think if you're auditioning for a host set, just stick to your material. Don't like try to do this crowd work thing. If you're auditioning to like if you're auditioning for a spot where they, you know, giving you more leeway, giving you more time, then that's your read, because you, this is a skill you have to have on the fly anyway.
True.
So like, I don't know, as far as like, we talk about this all the time, we're always auditioning for our jobs, so this is something we think about. We want to kind of measure doing well with, all right, I got to do well enough to for them to bring me back, which means you can't mm-hmm. always jump into your new chunk because it's mm-hmm. not tested yet and you don't want to derail the show. But at the open mic or opener level, I think it's really important to not worry so much about like not working on your new stuff, especially at open mics and showcases, because that's how mm-hmm. you advance. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, threading that needle in the moment. Yeah. I'd say, you know, your material, you know, start with your second best joke and then end with your closer. Mm-hmm. But in the middle, just kind of, you know, read, be aware of what's happening in the room. Mm-hmm. There's a frustrating thing that I see with like newer comics where they'll intentionally comment on something that happens in the room, and then they'll just like panic or let it go, or just, and so like the audience is like, okay, well, what the hell is that about?
Right.
Jump back in the how tacos can be eaten every day of the week, not just mm-hmm. Tuesdays. You're like, okay, well, I think continuity and like being in the moment, if you're going to in the moment start commenting on stuff that's happening in the room, you got to stick to it. You can't just do this like, all right, 2 minutes in, pull the parachute and bail.
Yeah.
So make a decision and stick to your guns.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And I think the thing that you keep coming back to, which I think is true, is it really depends on the situation. You got to read the situation. And so there's not a set answer one way or the other, right? Mm-hmm. And so, little cameo from my brother there as he's looking out the back. All right. And so, like, I think you have to try to read the situation as best you can and adapt. And obviously he's under, you know, or anyone in that situation's under added pressure, not just a regular set, because this has consequences. They're trying to get work. Mm-hmm. I got to do good so I can get work. Right. And I know that at John's level, I'm sure he was like auditioning to feature or even headline at this club, not, mm-hmm. not host. And so I think, it's a tough situation. I don't think there's anything really gained, and this could be an incorrect assessment on my part, but of just playing to the room when it is just a bunch of comics.
Yeah.
Because usually what makes a bunch of comics laugh is stuff that's super dark or just out there, or you are commenting, you're doing meta comedy instead of doing jokes. They want you to shit on this entire thing that's happening right now and shit on the process itself. You know, like, isn't this mic terrible? Ha ha ha. You know, and like, I remember, and I may have talked about this before on the set, on the podcast, this is years ago. You know, when I had the window open that I could submit for Conan every year, I had that in, right? And I was running my Conan submission set. I'd run it a bunch. Mm-hmm. And I did it at a bar show in Chicago. I was on my way to go headline in Minnesota, I think at Comedy Corner Underground. And so it was sparsely attended, basically just the comics on the show and a couple other comics. And I just watched the host try really hard, be very funny, mm-hmm. and just get nothing. Until they just kind of gave up and started shitting on the show. Then they started getting laughs.
Right.
Same thing with the first comic. Exact same thing. They were running new, and it's a very funny comic, and they were running new stuff. And I'm laughing because it's good material, but everybody else was just like too cool for school.
Right.
And then I got there and I ran my Conan set and like gave me nothing because I was just doing jokes.
Right.
I was doing what John had said. Do you just stick to your A material and try to do it? Yeah, man. Like, so I did not do well at that show. Mm-hmm. But the entire time in my head, I'm like, fuck y'all. And like, it's just like, this is good because I've run this a bunch of actual real shows. I know it's good material. You guys are just being shitty comics, which unfortunately happens a lot at an open mic.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where now if I was trying to get work at that show again, or at that, if that was a club, man, I may not have gotten it because I didn't do well. I had, mm-hmm. you know, 10 minutes of silence, you know, and people just staring at me. Yeah. And so, It's a tough call, and I think maybe trying to have it both ways is maybe the best way to do it. But I don't know, John. Why do you send us these numbers?
I'd say it's just stay flexible and
just, you know, hump the stool, dog. Just get down and hump that stool.
One thing, like, I get, like, if you're traveling to audition, you gotta kill. I think, because you won't have the opportunity to prove that you're consistent.
Oh yeah. And first impression too.
First impression. And
first impression is important. So yeah, I mean, in that scenario, it might be better to play to the room if the booker's in the room.
Yeah.
And just be like, all right, just show that you're flexible and can adapt. So yeah, I'm going to change my answer. If that booker's sitting in the room, you got to do what you can to kill. And then hopefully you can do the material you actually want to. So yeah, so hump that stool. Talk about the difference between women and men. You know,
women be humping like this.
Yeah. Maybe don't do your pro Hamas bit, you know, Hamas bit. Don't do that during this.
Timely. Yeah. I mean, I know that there are open mics all over the country where comics are going up with that material, and I hope and pray for myself that I don't see it, because like, everybody, when shit happens like this, every scene has that edgelord.
Yeah.
I don't think they probably listen to this show. They know they're liberal cucks.
Yeah, exactly.
That are giving
the soy boy comedy hour. They're probably not listening to this.
Be nice to people.
Yeah.
Turn this off. Yeah. Report.
Be a decent human being. Yuck. Why would I do that? Yeah.
I will not be doing that at all. It's tough. Comedy is tough because you have to make these reads, and then if you don't get something or you feel like you didn't do a good job, then you get to dwell on it for the next year. And then hopefully they forgot, and then I get to come back and try and fail again.
Yeah, man, for sure. Yeah, I do have one joke thing about everything that's going on that I didn't want to commit to Twitter, but I will now say on the podcast. This is just an observation that I had. Do you remember back when, back when dudes used to like always end a sentence? If they had a sentence where they were like giving props to another dude, they would always have to end it with saying no homo. Do you remember that?
I do.
Like the no homo movement, right?
I do. Yeah. It was very big. And
heaven forbid that you actually, you know, just show appreciation for another man. Right. So you had to go with no homo.
No
I
homo.
I feel like that's where we are now. Like, you can't, like, if you make a pro-Palestine comment, you have to end it with no Hamas. And so, you know, you have to put that little, you know, you shouldn't have to, should be implied, you know.
That's the one things. That was too edgy for Twitter.
It was, I just didn't want to deal with people. I'm not even saying it's that true. Edgy. I'm just saying it's just saying anything at all about anything on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't want to spend the rest of my day getting in fights or replying and just going, it was a joke, guy. It was, come it on.
Was, it was yeah, the softest joke
that you're going to get about this entire thing. This terrible, terrible situation.
I posted a joke about banning books on Reddit, and it's mostly positive.
Oh, that's good.
The negative ones are unhinged. They're like, if you're going to make up that we're banning books in America, then you can go back to liberal old Facebook. It's crazy. It's just nuts.
Are you just replying by linking news articles of the book banning happening like in Florida and stuff like that?
I don't even reply to the positive ones anymore. When I was promoting the special, I'd go through and say thanks to everyone.
Yeah.
But now it's like,
just why throw am it I out doing there. This?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you still trying to post stuff on Reddit? I did that for like a hot minute a couple of years ago. And then it's one of the many things that I gave up. So you are getting traction. You're getting,
I don't know, I don't, but it does work. People are like, I posted when I was in Chicago, and then I posted like a clip.
Oh, I think show promo works for sure.
Yeah, but yeah. No, and then people were like, we saw this on Reddit and then we came. I was like,
yeah,
that is what I want all my social media platforms to do.
Yeah, no, show promotion still works on that. But yeah, just those clips or whatever. So you did the clip, you posted the clip as a way to do show promo, or just an r/stand-up?
I've done them in r/stand-up when I was sending
gotten
people
good
to my special.
The special, yeah. That makes sense. Okay, so
but not just to be a Reddit user,
right?
I'm new. I'm new to it. I'm new to the game.
So. Maybe I should try that again. But that's if I ever bother to actually chop up my shit again, because God knows I'm back and forth. I did buy a mic that plugs into the bottom of my iPhone for taping. And it is by Zoom. It was like $99, but it had like a physical volume control on it and like a visual meter, so you could tell if it's peeking out or how, so you don't have to, like, you just kind of in the moment can see if you need to turn it up or turn it down, which was good. And I have only used it so far testing it on other people's sets. Like, I went to the early show at the Comedy Attic, the Hari Kondabolu, Sabine, what's Sabine's last name?
Sabine Siddiq, is it?
Sabine Siddiq, I think, yeah. And John Hancock show.
Yeah.
And I taped some of John's set, and I was changing the settings around, playing with it while I did it to see how it goes. I'm still struggling with the thing. Like, first of all, I wasn't going to tape the Battle Creek set anyway, just looking at, the room's not set up for it and everything,
right.
But just in general, I have always used like an old Sony Handycam because I have my phone on stage with me as a counter, like but also to recording audio from the stage. So then I can mix it in.
Right.
With the camera audio is how I've gotten pretty good audio for clips before.
Yeah.
Because just a camera in the back of the room, a lot of time the audio is real muffled or boomy or whatever.
Yep.
And so I don't know, do I just get another audio recording device and bring on stage? Like, I'm just at this thing of like, how much shit do I buy
to
try to get
record
these clips to look good and sound good, you know?
I know. Everybody setting up shit has like a two camera setup so they can get the audience, and they got, I'm like, golly.
And it'd be great. It's great when rooms are like that. But, I did I headlined a club, a month or so ago that has mini cameras set up.
Yeah.
And I emailed them about getting my video and still have not gotten my videos.
Nothing. It's
I know they're a little busy this week. They're kind of busy, but
too busy to listen to this podcast. You can
say too busy to listen to this podcast for sure. But it's like, it's also that thing when you leave it up to the club or, whatever, you're just like, you have to kind of just keep, like, I don't know, like you have to bug them all the time and shit like that. And so I don't know. But then I hit up a friend of the pod, Emil Joachim, and asked him what he's been using because his clips look great.
Yeah.
And he has like a crazy expensive camera set up.
Yep.
And it's just like, I guess my question is like, have you upgraded? Did you get a camera for taping?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Because we could because that's the thought that I had is like, well, I could get a $2,000 camera set up and write it off on my taxes.
Sure.
But it's also, it's still like, Do I want to run my credit card up $2,000?
I don't know. It's first, I want to find out if there's a way without posting clips endlessly to grow a little bit more. Sell some more tickets. Nothing's worse than headlining and then setting up your camera and then like 14 people show up.
Yeah, that's why you got to wait. You got to wait on setting up the camera until you see how the crowd looks.
Oh, I'm going to kill him tonight.
I mean, just like as the 14th person's coming in, you're disassembling a canvas. Yeah,
putting the tripod away.
Putting it all back on.
No, I mean, I have a phone that does a good job for what my purposes are. I think if I do another special, I would just invest in it myself and then do it all myself. That would be the reason why, but I don't even have a new 45 minutes that I need to be putting out yet. So I don't know. I guess to capture weird moments.
Right. Yeah. You're people yelling out. Rah, 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 rah.
Yeah. Let me share this with the world. I got his ass. Right. It's like, I don't need that yet, but I get it, man. I get it. I like that you're like, I don't know if I'll ever post a clip again as you're like scrolling through the eBay store.
Yeah. That's the thing. I'm back and forth about it because it feels like not doing that is giving up. Right. And just saying, well, I'm just going to do these $200 no hotel Battle Creek shows for the rest of my life. This is where I'm at. And that's it. Right. Because even though it's a Hail Mary to try and have a clip go viral or have multiple of them go viral, then, you know, that's still better than just taking a knee and just spiking the ball, you know, like it's at least throwing it out there.
My man goes to one Colts game. I know. We got football references.
Right. If I'm going to get Hail into the Mary end zone, get into the end zone of my career.
See, right now, what we're doing is running these little itty bitty out routes, these little slants.
Yeah.
And we want to be 40 yards down the field.
Do I want to do that? Or do I want to be, you know, smuggled out in the trunk of a car for murdering somebody? That's an extended football reference.
I know that is wild.
Thank you.
And I love it. Oh, my God. Ugh. All right.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Listeners to the podcast, we're going to wrap it up because we're running out of time here. But if you have a question for the podcast or if you want to send in what you're doing, if you're a comedian and you are taping clips and you've got a setup that you like that doesn't cost several thousand dollars, how do you balance that of like your phone is in the back of the room, but how are you getting the good audio, you know, and or anything? Just tell us what we should be doing with our careers. That would be great. You can do that at our email address, which is mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com. Dwight, you have any last words, final words of wisdom?
Oh, we are moving forward for the shoe.
For Elizabeth Shue. This podcast now and everything else we do is for the shoe, SHUE.